Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast presented by Applied Software Gray Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We recorded this conversation live from the Advancing Prefabrication Show in Denver, Colorado. In this conversation, I sat down with Todd Mustard of Nika to discuss the latest in prefab trends and much more. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. All right, so we are recording live from Advancing Prefab and excited to be joined by another Todd Mustard.
Yep.
Welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're at Advancing Prefab. I've been asking everybody kind of what's your journey been on the prefab side and coming in that's led you to Advancing Prefab.
So I'm an association guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like a lifer now, it feels like. I just joined Nika. Mm-hmm. I'm now the chapter executive for the Oregon Columbia chapter. Mm-hmm. But in my previous role in life with TALK, the Association of Union Constructors, I had had an opportunity to moderate a panel at Advancing Prefab in Phoenix in 2022. Mm-hmm. Josh Bone was a panelist, as well as a guy from Interfab. And then there was another contractor whose name I can't remember right now. But it was a great experience. I thought a lot of it. And as I've gotten into this new role at Nika, prefab has become is a very hot topic amongst my contractors. But also what's kind of unique and interesting is I brought my counterparts from the local union, Local 48, IBW Local 48, with me to also just better understand what's out there, what people are doing, and how it could potentially impact the trade and make us all more efficient, effective, mm-hmm. better, competitive, et cetera. So, yeah, it's been good.
Oh, how have you seen the evolution on the electrical side? You know, for a long time, electrical was kind of the redheaded stepchild of prefab. Have you seen that change?
They're catching up. I recently had an opportunity to go to Atlanta, your hometown, and I got to do a tour of Allison Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing really cool a lot of really amazing stuff, like full skids, entire electrical rooms, some stuff for data center work. Mm-hmm. But then they're also got another segment within their company that's doing prefab only. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in my backyard too, you know, the Rosendens, the OEGs, the EC Company, Cherry City, Dyna Electric, and more, and others are all doing a lot as it relates to prefab and modular. And, you know, a lot of it, I think, is driven in part from Intel, but also a lot of data center work, which mm-hmm. I've heard a ton about over the last day or so. And yeah, I think they're definitely progressing and making strides and advances almost by the day, if not week, you know.
Yeah. What challenges are you seeing that are facing, you know, maybe electrical specifically, but kind of construction in general as we try to move this prefab movement forward?
I think the productization component or piece can be tricky for some. I mean, it makes sense for things that you're using a lot, you know, outlets or whatever. But I think that is just going to be a kind of incremental improvement over time, mm-hmm. As we, especially, and I think there is, like, you know, with construction in general, I think there is like a desire for things to be bespoke. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, in the reality is we're all moving towards a more standardized existence, you know, mm-hmm. in construction and for a variety of reasons, many of which are really good and positive, like the elimination of waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. How have you seen conversations happening where, you know, people want their everything to be more, maybe their creative freedom and not be tied down in standardization and prefab or even just being reluctant to change? How have you gone about those conversations?
I think you can still be creative. I think some of that, the way you pivot there is to talk a little bit more about how creative you can get with the process, mm-hmm. maybe versus the sort of end result. But I think one of the more challenging things that we're seeing is a size kind of constraint. So, you know, I represent a number of different contractors. The ones I listed earlier are all large, mm-hmm. and do a lot of work. But I also represent some smaller kind of mom and pop to, to slightly larger, medium-sized companies. And I think there's a point in which you don't feel like you're big enough to get into prefab. Mm. And so we've been having some conversations about could, you know, some of the larger contractors potentially outsource some of that stuff to the smaller contractors. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having very early conversations about that. There's obviously, you know, sometimes we're all also competitors, you know, in a lot of ways. So, right. can be a kind of trickier thing to do because it's a different business model, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Is one of the hurdles, just the investment upfront?
I think so.
Get into prefab?
I think it's the investment. And I also think, you know, smaller contractors in general, this is a general statement, typically work on smaller projects. Mm-hmm. So you're not seeing the same number, the scale kind sure. of issue. Whereas if you're working for, you know, Google and doing this, you know, part mm-hmm. of a $600 million build for a data center project, you're going to do a lot of the stuff of similar things over and over again.
Right.
Whereas with the smaller to medium, you know, you might not. Mm-hmm. I think multi-use though, multi-family, you're seeing some of that with like, you know, the pods, whether it's bathroom or, some electrical actually too, the panels.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. On the technology front, what trends are you seeing there and to help kind of push the movement forward, and also on the emerging technologies, what's kind of popping up and catching your attention?
You know, the one I was interested in learning more about today was about tapping into supply chain. Mm. So you would basically have access to not only what's in your own inventory, but then price points for specific items, comparisons amongst different distributors.
Yeah.
And then also maybe even like what they have available. So your purchasing now becomes... and it's like a communication enhancement from the field to management to see exactly what people need, when they need it, and how that can be impacted by supply chain. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, these communication opportunities to just make sure everybody's, you know, the single source of truth thing, mm-hmm. Where everybody has access to it. There's transparency. I think that kind of technology is going to be really helpful because I think the last thing we all need is another phone call, email, text. You know, if we can have a service that allows us to both look at something and we both get the same information without having to talk to each other, that's mm-hmm. that can be great, you know?
Yeah.
And I can also envision, you know, where AI starts becoming a player in that, where they're offering recommendations even within the BIM model based on supply chain availability stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there.
I have Nathan Wood in my head talking about interoperability when you were just talking about how to connect it all together. What's the latest on the trends from your perspective with interoperability in the softwares?
Ooh, that's a good one. I was actually talking about that earlier today because I think it's getting better with these platform like Procore, mm-hmm. Where you got a lot of APIs that are all getting plugged into each other and kind of interconnected. I still think it's probably there's a ways to go but we don't. It's interesting too because we don't want to prevent sort of a newcomer into the field. We want to give them that flexibility that to mm-hmm. be an entrepreneur and try something new and carve off their niche. But that's also in some ways preventing, I think, some contractors from wanting to go with the solution because they see it as a niche product and they sort of want something that's more overarching. But I think that connectivity, that platform connectivity that would give the small player to plug into something and then have that data kind of intersperse throughout the system. Mm-hmm. And then you have access to all these different things that are talking to each other.
Yeah.
I think there's improvement there. I think we still have ways to go though.
Who drives that? Is it the software vendors or is it the contractors kind of demanding it? Some weird combo of both.
I think it is a weird combo of both. but I think it's sort of the, you know, Microsoft's, what is it called? Power of BI.
Power BI.
Yeah. Yeah. In the dashboards. Uh-huh. I think those are really cool. And, you know, having a place where you can go And that tells you all the things that you think are important, and you can customize that in a way that gives you real time, instantaneous data to allow you to improve yourself, your business, whatever. I think the dashboard itself, it seems simple, but I think that is showcasing the value of the interconnectivity. And I'll just giving, you know, cause I, you know, a lot of times I research Domo. Have you heard of Domo? So Domo is an interconnector. It's like its own platform where, but you go to this one place and you can plug as many things into it as possible and then create your own, connections within it. That'll allow you to give kind of unique, perspectives on public data from like DOL, for example, or, you know, CPI, OSHA, but also your own private data as well in one spot. And I think that it goes back to the dashboard, is just so helpful that, you know, I think there's that itself can like push us, on, if you will.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm rambling a little bit.
No, that's good. So you brought up AI. What's your kind of gut reaction? How are people really kind of thinking through and processing the impact of AI?
So Josh Bone recently told me I should read The Coming Wave. This book is about, as an expert, he's scared to death of AI. And it's for, you can think of the Terminator references and all that stuff. But I think there is some truth to that. But I also think there's an unbelievable amount of potential with AI.
Sure.
And I think, like any new technology, you know, oftentimes everyone initially calls it either the silver bullet or the thing that's going to kill everybody, you know?
Right.
And so there is this kind of weird line. I think it's already in all so many things.
Right.
Have you played with ChatGPT at all?
I love ChatGPT.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I call it my favorite brainstorming partner.
Yes.
Agreed.
It's great. And then Gemini, have you played with Gemini or Bard or?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Chat's been my main go-to.
Yeah. I have two. And it's very helpful. I mean, it's in terms, just from a brainstorm standpoint, from an initial first draft for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Now you still need to go in and make all kinds of tweaks and edits and modifications to it to make it like truly work for you and be help you with that end product or whatever. And I think that's kind of where we are with AI. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of smart people working on it right now that are in, I'm not exactly sure. I can't give you an example of how it's currently being incorporated into, I know it is, but I can't give you an exact example.
The industry is struggling with a communication problem and a lack of interoperability. This is causing 25% of data being recreated and almost $300 billion loss due to bad communication. Great Tech Group believes that is a problem. So they created Data Connect, an easy-to-use, no-code platform that connects critical ERP systems with cost management to form a single source of truth to empower better communication, decision-making, and project efficiency, delivering the ultimate business outcome of being on time and on budget. Visit asti.com/dataconnect to start saving time and money. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the trick with AI, can it be nefarious long-term?
Yeah
sure. There's sure. potential there. You got to be careful with it, but it does still take that human to go in and review it, give the gut check.
Absolutely.
And because it's only as good as the information that you're putting in and the prompts that you're putting in as well too. So you can put in a terrible prompt and it shoots out something that's just very off base, and you have to kind of give a gut check. It's more the kind of co-pilot or brainstorm partner that can help simplify and give you a good running start, but it's not going to take you all the way there.
No,
at least not right now.
No, not yet.
Not for a long time, probably.
Yeah.
Well, we got a good long road runway before I think that happens.
It'll probably happen faster than we think.
You think?
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's 5 to 10 years away rather than 10 to 20. I don't know.
That's probably true.
Yeah,
that's probably true. But to hear some of the hype.
Yeah.
It's like now. It's happening
it's already,
right now.
Yeah.
I think
no,
there's more runway there than what some of the marketing hype
agreed. I mean, going back to AI, I mean, for electrical and for all construction in general, it's creating a tremendous amount of opportunity. I mean, the data center, the reason why there's so many data centers out there is because of AI and how, you know, the computing power needed for these large language models is huge. Yeah. And so I think these data centers, they're only going to get more and more efficient and effective, but they're going to keep going online quick, you know?
Right. Yeah. So pivoting the conversation, skilled labor shortage comes up all the time still. What has been being done to kind of help address this over the last, you know, maybe year or so? What's the kind of the latest thing there? And what do you think needs to happen still?
So with this one's kind of interesting because in Portland and Local 48, we have more people who want to get into the apprenticeship program than we have seats.
Really?
We have literally 1,500 people waiting to get into the program.
Wow.
And which is crazy.
It's a unique problem. That's a good problem.
It's not, problem. It's a good problem. You know, I'm not suggesting people need to like approach Local 48 to get the, you know, their members to like start flying to Tennessee and Kentucky or anything like that. But I mean, we have a really good wage and fringe package and all this other stuff, which was part of what, you know, I think gets people to want to, you know, money is good. It's powerful.
Yeah.
But they've also done a really good job of making sure they're reaching out to a diverse applicant pool. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of women coming into the trades in Portland, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Minorities, veterans, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done a really, really good job. I can't take credit for that. I just got on. I'm a new trustee on the JATC. But I think in other parts of the country, you know, they're heavily utilizing incentives and stuff like that, which I think is honestly kind of detrimental to the market in general, because we've been talking a lot about the impacts of a mega project in your backyard and how they're great, you know, but at the same time, it can kind of undermine your existing market share because it's such a huge suction of labor to fulfill these, you know, again, the $600 million Google data center that's going to be in the Dalles just off the Columbia River. Mm-hmm. Intel's talking about doing a Mod 4 that'll probably not happen until the end of this year or 2025. But we're talking billions and billions of dollars. I mean, the impact to, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky for these automotive battery plants, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people, travelers coming in to do work, not let alone the amount of recruitment needed in places like Memphis and other places, you know, in Nashville. So I think, you know, it's great. I mean, we're in this weird, I feel like, time within construction because typically it's a cyclical industry, right? It's got its booms and its busts. And right now, because of the amount of infrastructure money that's coming in, but also just like feel like the economy and we're in this weird place where, you know, inflation thankfully is coming down. But I don't know. I don't know when the dip's going to happen. You know, it feels like we're all going to rent. I mean, and this is the thing too, I think justifiably fear with the trades is we're going to recruit so many people and then that bus is going to happen. Mm. And then all of a sudden they're sitting on the sidelines and like, you know, Yeah, exactly. So it is, it's just, which is why I think automation and all this other stuff is in helping make, you know, one person potentially do the job of two, is kind of where we need to go as an industry. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be interesting getting there. Mm-hmm.
Now, what messages have you seen resonate with the diverse audience that you're bringing in to the trades in the Pacific Northwest?
From a recruitment standpoint?
Yeah. What's kind of like, I feel like construction, it's a really well-kept secret from people outside of the industry. So what's resonating
with them? What's
your
special
sauce?
Yeah. It's a great question. I think it is probably, I mean, our packages are pretty high on the West Coast in general.
Yeah.
And construction is definitely not one of these where you think, oh, I've got flexibility in terms of when I work, you know, and if I want to make a bunch of money, I got to do like a lot of overtime or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is true, but I think we are thinking about that from an industry perspective in a different way to try to help build in some of that flexibility into people's lives. I mean, it's fun. It's interesting. You could, as an electrician in Oregon, potentially work 9 months a year, make still enough money to cover your salary for the year, take 3 months off like a teacher, but you're making way better money than a teacher, unfortunately for the teachers. But so I think, you know, I think there's a little bit of that. We have great contractors too that treat their people really well. So I think that's a benefit to us. Not that, that there aren't great contractors everywhere, but I'm sure there are.
Yeah. But all that mixed together creates a real compelling thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So we're at Advancing Prefab. So bringing it back to the show. Any main takeaways so far from this week?
I mean, quite a few. Today, just alone this morning, I had not heard of Pure Metal. What is it called? I got to look at my phone real fast. That documentary, it's like a 12-minute documentary. I literally just watched it. And it is, it's fascinating. It's about data centers. Bare metal. Okay. Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh, my gosh. A guy from Cupertino Electric. It was the director and producer. And he got interviews from all these different huge data center people.
Yeah.
And but also the steel industry and these other... The comparison was made actually by this, one of the steel companies that they've had this relationship with automotive industry forever.
Uh-huh.
And the data center, you know, the technology industry in general has not had that same relationships with the supply chain and how that's, you know, had an incredibly negative impact to the climate and carbon and how the only way to fix that is to get everybody on the same page. So Bare Metal, you got to check it out. It's like 10-11 minutes.
Okay.
I literally watched
it. Watch it today.
Yeah, it was great. So that was a good takeaway. This conference, the international component to this conference, I don't get at many others. Most of this is domestic focused, you know? And so like hearing about some of the challenges in sort of the Middle East or Dubai. Listened a little bit about some of the things they were trying to do with their 2021 vision, which they rolled out in 2016. But one of the things they were trying to do was try to get their culture and community to be more open to entrepreneurship in general, because they're trying to move away from the petro state stuff. And how they initially failed because of all these human reasons, because parents didn't want their kid to start a business that was going to potentially fail, you know, and how that's an integral part of being an entrepreneur is being willing to fail quickly, you know, and like usually you know, you're on your sixth startup before it, you know, have any success or whatever. So I think that I found that fascinating. And then the guy this morning, it was an early presentation, it was 7:40 a.m., but was talking about it's Saudi, I believe, Saudi Arabia, the wall, you know.
The wall city.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah,
I mean, talk about prefab and modularization. Holy, I mean, that's mind blowing.
Yeah.
And that he said that it's in construction now, but it's not going to be completely done until 2040.
Really? I didn't know it was that long of time.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have like components of it complete within the next couple of years or whatever. I think 2028, he has to be done with his segment. But I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. And I guess it makes sense. They're building an entire city from scratch.
Correct.
In the desert.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
There's some challenges there.
Right. And I mean, they don't have... you know, they have to rely on a lot of out of country creativity. And that's where like a lot of the modular stuff comes into play. And they also don't want to build factories right next to it that they then have to tear down when it's done, you know? So it was really intriguing. So I was fascinated by both those things. I will say it's interesting. I think when you come to an event like this, especially when you have like contractors presenting, there's in some ways you feel like there's some kind of like platitudes are being discussed where they don't want to really tell you exactly what they're doing. They don't want to give you like the case study stuff.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting. I mean, there's, you know, I get it. You don't, you know, that's your IP in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But so in some ways there were a few that I was like, oh man, I wish I could have heard about some real life scenario that they worked through that I could take back. But I think in general it's been good. I'm prefab is sort of that first step towards like true modular, you know? And I think it's good to see so many owners, GCs, subcontractors. I was actually very impressed with the number of electrical contractors that are here. I think it's a good thing. It's a good, you know, you want to create an ecosystem and community that pushes this stuff along, because construction, you know, we're not always the best at adopting technology and new solutions and processes. So
getting better.
We're getting better though. We are getting better.
It's an improvement.
Yeah.
So as we start to wrap up, a couple rapid fire questions.
Sure.
What is the phrase modeling the future? What does that look like to you?
Modeling the future?
Modeling the future.
What does it mean to me?
What does it look like?
What does it look like? Well, so from the association guy's perspective, you know, one of the main reasons people belong to associations is to be recognized.
Yeah.
And I think recognizing people for doing like really cool and interesting things is a great way to make everybody, create a little FOMO, mm-hmm. But also sort of reach towards the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. So I think modeling the future, I think all of us could probably do a better job of like showcasing or kind of sticking our chests out and be proud of X, Y, and Z that we're doing and share it with our community. Mm-hmm. But, you know, without making, you know, without hurting your competitiveness too, you know, so that there is like a weird line there.
Yeah. What does innovation, what does that mean to you?
Innovation. I mean, innovation can mean it's not just hardware and software, you know, it is, it can be process. Mm-hmm. And I think figuring out being, it's also to me, turning up your personal creativity, mm-hmm. and figure out, okay, we've done it this way for a long time. Could we do it a different way? It's like, mm-hmm. it's always asking the question, why are we doing it? Mm-hmm. How, what, and figuring out, is this, you know, there's potentially always a better way, mm-hmm. but there's also potentially someone out there that has dealt with the same issue that you can take from, mm-hmm. and then make it your own, make it slightly better.
Yeah.
And I think that's innovation, is this incremental progress.
Yeah, I totally agree. How do people find out more information and connect with you?
Oregon. So Oregon Columbia chapter of NECA, OreColNECA.org is our website. But LinkedIn is probably the best way. Nice. I love LinkedIn.
Me as well. last question for you. If I could give you all construction power, you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing. What would you pick to innovate?
Oh my goodness. Todd, you're throwing this curveball at the end, huh?
Punch for you at the end.
I could change one thing or anything. I think, and this, you mentioned Nathan Woods earlier, you know, I had the pleasure of attending his summit a couple years ago, mm. and the group I was a part of was talking about the speed of just getting paid. Mm. So I think if there's one thing I could change, if I could wave my magic construction wand and get people paid as quickly as humanly possible, I think that would do tremendous things for our industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. It's a good way to end it. Everybody wants to get paid.
Everybody wants to get paid. Come on. Where's my money?
That's right.
Where's
that's
my
right.
check?
Well, Todd, thanks so much for taking the time and joining the show today.
My pleasure. Yeah. Appreciate it. Awesome. Todd, thank you.
Now it's time for my Todd takes from this episode. First take. The construction industry, particularly in electrical work, has evolved significantly with an increased focus on prefabrication and modular methods. Companies are implementing comprehensive prefabrication strategies, ranging from full electrical room setups to data center components, improving efficiency and driving industry growth. Take two. As the industry advances, it faces challenges like product component intricacies and the need for bespoke solutions. However, these challenges are being met with incremental improvements and innovations, particularly in supply chain integration, which enhances communication and efficiency across the projects. And final take, the skilled labor shortage remains a critical issue, but efforts are underway to address this through enhanced training programs and outreach. Additionally, technology, especially AI and software interoperability, is increasingly pivotal, facilitating better project management and pushing the prefab movement forward. Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyant, edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Great Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Great Tech Group 2024.